is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Sorry about that. We're here and, of course, trying to get our guests on the line so that we can comfortably speak with her. We're looking at World Cancer Day. World Cancer Day holds every single year. And this particular year, of course, it's being marked. And the statistics regarding cancer are not too good. It's something we need to have a conversation about. We'll have a guest on the program this morning, a medical doctor who will be giving us all the information we need, to know all the information we need about cancer. Like I said, it's on the increase. You heard about King Charles, the British monarch, has had his own case. You heard about the Namibian president, Gengob, who passed on recently as well, unexpectedly, while in the seat. As president of Namibia, so many examples abound. So it's very important some conversation to have the issue of cancer's health Thursday, right here on the Morning Crossfire. Our guest, Dr. Amaka Lashe-Bikon, is a consultant clinical oncologist, and of course she will be joining us in a matter of seconds. If you want to be a part of the conversation, please do so. Call us on our numbers, usually advertised 0700 993 993 993 0700 993 993 993. It's the number to call. Our female line, 0201 465 7175, 0201 465 7175. Okay, we have our guest on the line. Doc, sorry, when I called you couldn't hear me. But I don't know if you can hear me now, Dr. Amaka Lashe-Bikon.
Yes, I can. Good morning.
All right. Good to have you. Good to have you on the program this morning. For those who are wondering who our guest is, let's, by way of introduction, tell you she's a consultant clinical oncologist. She's the president of the Association of Radiation, Radiation Clinical Oncologists of Nigeria, ARCON. She's the director of oncology at the University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital in Enugu. Other aspects of her, things to know about her. She's also a global oncology consultant who has successfully advocated for the inclusion of survivorship as a standalone entity in the Nigerian National Cancer Control Plan 2023 to 2028. She's a member and subject matter expert of for the World Health Organization Global Breast Cancer Initiative 2021, and she's a policy development and implementation strategist and researcher. Dr. Lashe-Bikon, it's good to have you once again. Are you reaching us from Enugu? Are you joining us from Enugu?
No, actually, I'm joining you from Abuja. I've also been, I'm also at the Nigeria Institute of Cancer Research and Training, where I serve as the Director for Research and Innovation.
Okay, fantastic, fantastic. I couldn't think of a better person to discuss this than you. Last Sunday, February 4th, was World Cancer Day. And in commemoration of that World Cancer Day, we are discussing the issue of cancer right here on the Morning Crossfire. Severally on the show, we've had series of discussions on the same topic even before I came on board with Sheriff. But cancer is still very important to talk about. And this morning, we're looking at this issue of cancer. According to research, cancer is the most expensive disease to treat. Research also says that the big five cancers which cause the most death in Nigeria are breast cancer, and you also have prostate cancer, cervical cancer, colorectal cancer, and liver cancer. I guess we'll tell us more about that. Madam, is that the case, that these are the cancers that Nigerians are dealing with, or do we have more?
Well, these are the top five cancers putting men and women together. But if we were to separate them, we would have prostate, colorectum, liver, non-Hodgkin's and Kaposi's sarcoma being the most frequent from of the males. And then for the females, we have breast, cervical cancer, colorectal cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and ovarian cancer. This is according to the recent 2022 GlobalCon report, looking at the trends and mortality rates of cancer in Nigeria. So, yes, these are the top five when you put male and female together. But if we split it individually, we can see that they still feature and a little bit more from the other cancers as well.
All right. I want us to go straight to the important aspect of this. What will you like? What have you observed in your research of cancer in Nigeria as we speak that you think it is important that Nigerians are aware of?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of, some research that has been going on in Nigeria, in the cancer space in Nigeria. It's been diverse, a lot of studies around prevention, a lot of studies around diagnosis, but it hasn't really come together to be able to allow us to inform practice and policy, which is why sometime early last year, I think about 10 months to be precise, the Nigerian Institute for Cancer Research and Treatment was formally operationalized by the former president. So this has the one of its strong roles is to coordinate research activities for the country and help that use those findings to truly inform the policy and the practice such that policies that emanate for the country concerning cancer control are based on really what is going on the ground. We know breast cancer is the leading cause in women. We have the highest mortality rate. The incidence is high. Our patients present in stage 3, stage 4. But we want to go a little bit deeper to find out, you know, things around how we can successfully implement early detection strategies, because we know that for breast cancer, again, this is just an example, we know that early detection strategies do work in stage shifting, which is moving patients from an advanced stage disease to an earlier stage disease. We know that it works, and when they come down to earlier stage diseases, the outcomes are better. But for some reason, even with a lot of advocacy across the country, opportunity screening exercises, we haven't really begun to see the stage shifting that we desire. So one of the things the Institute is looking into is to see what are the problems, what are the challenges, why are we not making inroads? And then from there, start off to identify strategies that are culturally acceptable to us that will allow us to really make great strides and improve early detection strategies and ultimately improve outcomes in Nigeria.
All right. So obviously, for what you're saying, early detection is key to helping Nigerians overcome cancer.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. If you have any question to ask, you want to talk about any issue regarding cancer, you want to, you know, just give a contribution or share your personal experience, please feel free to do that by calling the numbers we early advertise: 0700-993-993-993. Don't forget, this morning, of course, One Plate at NG is giving away 10,000 out of five lucky listeners. You might be among the five lucky listeners to go with that 10,000 out. All you have to do is head on to the One Plate website. That's www.oneplay.ng, the number one and then the word play together, oneplay.ng, and you can play for 5,000 of a 500 naira and you stand a chance of winning 10,000 naira. Just follow the prompts on the website, click on the box that has a Nigeria Info logo and that says Nigeria Info 99.3 Lagos, and you see a button that says play for 500 naira. The more you play, the more your chances of winning 10,000 are up for grabs to five lucky winners. Alright, Doc, you are a global oncology leader, a renowned researcher with over 20 years experience in, you know, clinical medicine, cancer care, amongst others. Over the years, you've been connecting the gaps, you've been preferring solutions, you know, with your in-depth knowledge of cancer and clinical research and policy. Would you say that the Nigerian policies on cancer are working? Are you there?
look at the policies that, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now. It's a lost you for a bit, we can hear you now.
Okay, so let's look at a couple of policies that have come out in the cancer space. 2 years ago, we had the policy around ChemoSafe, that's trying to ensure that chemotherapy across the country is given in a safe and effective manner. We've also had the palliative care policy, again, trying to strengthen palliative care services across the country. We've also had policy on cervical cancer, early detection and immunization and all of that. And then we have the National Cancer Control Plan. So let me start with the National Cancer Control Plan. Now, this typically is a document that serves as a roadmap for the country, cancer control efforts for the country. We have a new one, which was launched last year. But before then, we had one that expired in 2022. When it was reviewed, for a number of reasons, we had made some inroads in some areas, but not in all. So in terms of implementation of those policies, we did a few, but obviously there's definitely room for improvement. So with this National Cancer Control Plan, there are a number of priority areas. Pediatric cancers have also featured strongly in the plan as well as survivorship. So I know that there are plans. There was a meeting earlier on this week. NICRAD, the Ministry of Health, and other leaders and stakeholders in the country gathered to see what NICRAD has, the plans NICRAD has to operationalize the NCCP documents. So in the area of prevention and screening, the directorate outlined plans that they had to really try to, first of all, prioritize, because the NCCP is a document, it's a 5-year strategic document. So prioritizing activities for year one, year two, year three, year four, really coning down on activities for year one. So, and this was done across the 4 directorates of the Institute. And so the focus really would be around data surveillance, trying to strengthen our data monitoring and surveillance capacity. Before now, we had the Nigerian National Systems of Cancer Registries, which was online. We had a huge presence online, which sort of like pulled in all the data from the numerous population-based cancer registries and hospital-based cancer registries, trying to show Nigeria and the world really some of the more common cancers, where they are, and all of those statistics. But right now, the website is not up and running. So this, again, is a focus for the data monitoring and surveillance, because without data, you really can't accurately plan. Then there are early detection strategies, the HPV vaccination, other early detection strategies that can really move us from a predominantly stage 3, stage 4 presentation to earlier stages. Then for the clinical practice as well, we've also had documents that mandate multidisciplinary team approach in the management of cancer care. So all of these things are work in process. But the first step really is to have that policy document, which has come out, and then the operationalization of the document as well. Last year, I know that the ministry went around with support from pharma company to try to get institutions that are involved in managing cancers to operationalize fully the multidisciplinary team approach to the management of cancer. And then again, this continued this year. We also had we worked closely with the American Cancer Society to improve the ChemoSafe policy and ensure that chemotherapy, again, there's safety in handling the chemotherapy, not just for the patients, but also the health workers as well, because they are exposed to chemotherapy without really needing that exposure, as opposed to the patients who are exposed to it but they do need it, and we know that it's toxic. So these are some of the things to guide both the patients and then the workforce as well, because as we know, the workforce in Nigeria is not optimal, so we really can't afford to lose the ones that are on the ground.
All right, so even the healthcare providers are at risk, you know, as far as this chemotherapy is concerned. I must confess, Doc, you're very technical. I want you to please break it down for us. Some of us are not as high as you are in your research.
My apologies.
No. It's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. Don't mind me. I'm just being jovial about it. But I'm picking things from what you said. you know, but as much as possible, try and keep it simple for us. Now, you touched on something which is very important. I didn't know that healthcare workers are also at risk whilst trying to attend and, you know, to, you know, cancer patients. And you've just brought that out now. And that's really worrying. Really worrying indeed, because we know how important our healthcare workers are. But let's look at the entire service delivery across all levels with regards to cancer. Is it, where are we? Where do we stand with our healthcare service delivery? You've talked about that a bit, but I want you just to delve into it a bit more, please.
Okay, so the healthcare service delivery, I mean, for you to really have optimal, you know, treatments, it will start with diagnosis. Okay. So there's, where are we with our diagnostic capacity and capability in Nigeria? Many places have the basic investigation, for instance, imaging, ultrasound, chest x-ray, but it is really not enough. Okay. So we need better imaging to be able to stage our patients better. And if the staging is wrong, then really, you know, the process is wrong.
Okay.
So in terms of staging, we have the CT scans widely available in the country. We have MRI sparsely available in the country. But it's not just being available. The question now is, how affordable is it? Okay, so it's expensive even to the common man. So that is the issue now with imaging. There's the histopathological diagnosis, because you really want to know what it is you're dealing with before you can start thinking about formulating a treatment plan. We have a number of pathologies across the country that are really providing these services. There are limitations with some of the reagents, and unfortunately the forex that the issues around forex, it does not help, because some of these, most of these regions really are sourced from outside the country. And as the prices go up, so also do the cost of these tests. Again, how affordable is it to the common man? Then we move into the space of treatment. There are about three main pillars for treatment in cancer, which is surgery, radiotherapy, and systemic treatment, which could be either chemotherapy, targeted therapy, hormonal therapy, or immunotherapy. So surgery, there are surgeons around. Surgical oncology skills are developing. The West African College of Surgeons is, I know that they are working very strongly to institute surgical oncology training across the country to try to increase the number of skilled surgical oncologists that we have in country. So there's some progress that we hope we will begin to see the rewards in the not too distant future. Then the issue of radiotherapy. Right now we have about 14 linear accelerators in the country. According to the global best practices, with a country of over 200 million, we should have at the very least 200. So that again tells you the stack disparity, the gap that we have. We're talking of a nation that should have 200 and we have only 14. Now we look at where they
The line went a bit bad. So you say we have 14 of what, please?
The linear accelerator, that is the machine that offers radiotherapy.
Oh, I see.
To patients.
Okay.
Who need them. Yes.
Okay, all right.
So we have just, I think, about 14. And out of the 14, not all of them are operational, because a couple of them are still work in process to begin to treat patients. So that number will reduce in terms of the ones that are clinical. Now, and as I said earlier on, the global best practice really recommends that for a country as large as this, we should have a minimum of 200. One per 1 million citizens, I think that's how. So you can tell the gap that already exists in having access to it. Then you talk about the geographic spread of these machines across the country. In the northeastern region, the only facility that has the linear accelerator is University of Maiduguri Teaching Hospital. So for all the patients requiring this service in the northeast, irrespective of where they are based in the northeast, their closest place within the northeast is in Maiduguri. Then we have the facility also available in Abuja. Then we have another facility that is available in UNTH. We have one in Ebonyi. There's Calabar. We have Lagos. And actually get functional radiotherapy services. And they do not come cheap. The cheapest in the country now to access it is about 800,000 naira to get radiotherapy. Some, the range is between 800 to 1.7. Again, we have these numbers because of private sector involvement into this space.
Machines are expensive. Is this a total, you know, number of sessions or per session?
No, this is for the total number of sessions that would be required. Yeah, so with the common man that is grappling with the minimum wage, with the inflation rates, and then they need radiotherapy and it comes up to 800 or 1.7, you see that apart from access, there's obviously a problem with affordability. Then we now talk about the chemotherapeutic or systemic treatments. A couple of companies that supply these drugs have left the country.
All right, I have to apologize. We had a bit of a technical issue, but we're back. And of course, our guest is standing by as well as we discuss issues surrounding cancer on World Cancer Day. And thanks for staying there still. The Morning Crossfire right here on 99.3 Nigeria. I won't tell you what happened to me. Doc, sorry about that. After the advert break, we had to do one or two things, if you know what I mean. Sorry about that. But we've been enjoying listening to you and having you tell us the policy issues surrounding cancer in Nigeria. It's a tall order. Before we lost you on the call, you were telling us about the challenges as far as the healthcare system is concerned relating to cancer. And Dr. Amaka Lashemikon, you talked about detection issues. You talked about treatment issues with surgery or other forms of treatment. And you talked about radiology. So you were on radiology before we lost you. So, madam, can you please kindly continue from where you stopped before we ask your next question?
Okay, so that is radiotherapy.
Radiotherapy.
Not radiology.
Sorry. I'm learning. We're learning from you. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so I was just trying to highlight where we have functional radiotherapy services across the country.
Okay.
And I mentioned that we have them in facilities in University of Maiduguri Teaching Hospital, which should serve for the South, Northeast. We have National Hospital Abuja that has radiotherapy facilities as well. That's the linear accelerator. We also have two centers actually in Lagos, a private facility and a government-owned facility. That's the NSI Lut.
Okay.
We have another facility, UNTH, David Umahi Teaching Hospital. And then we have another private facility in Calabar.
Okay.
So if you see the ones that I've listed out now, you can imagine a patient somewhere in Ilorin, how far they have to travel to access it, you know. So we have geographic access disparities. And then I was talking about the cost as well. The cost of the treatment is also not, it doesn't come cheap. 800,000 right now being the minimum you can get it across the country. And then it ranges from between 800,000 to 1.7 million. Again, depending on the type of radiotherapy the person will get as well. So then there's also problems with accessing systemic treatments, chemotherapy, hormonal therapy, targeted therapy. With the dollar fluctuation rates, the prices also have changed. And again, there's also the ability to receive it in a place where you have people that are authorized to give it in a safe and efficient manner. So when you now talk about all these infrastructural problems, then you also look at the manpower, because the workforce too is also an issue with accessing this treatment. And the workforce does not just include doctors. We have the oncology nurses, oncology pharmacists. Then for safe and effective delivery of radiotherapy, you also have the therapy radiographers and the medical physicists. And none of this, we don't have nearly enough really across the country above board. So we do have problems with accessing it. And then for the costing issue, we have the Cancer Health Fund, which was has been in operation for over 2 years. And it's really targeted at helping indigent patients with breast, cervical, and prostate cancer to access their services at designated hospital for free. Wow. Now, the designated hospital, National Hospital Abuja, Federal Teaching Hospital Gombe, they have brachytherapy services in Federal Teaching Hospital Gombe. That is a core component for treatment of cervical cancer. Then ABU Teaching Hospital Zaria, University College Hospital Ibadan, UNTH and UBTH. So one in each geopolitical zones. This was supposed to be like a pilot phase. So they chose hospitals in each of the zones. So patients with cervical cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer that are identified and determined as being indigent will go there, apply to get onto the CHF portal, and then they have money, minimum of 1 million credited in their wallets, and they use it for their treatment. And I must say that that 1 million naira doesn't go to them as cash. That 1 million naira is an electronic fund that they can draw upon to access their service at these hospitals.
I see. So what do we need to be advocating for? Because you said we have 12 or 14 of those linear equipment that is used for the radiotherapy, and we need more. You talked about the cost. You also said they are few and far between. I'm wondering, how many people who may be able to afford the 800,000 to 1 million naira, if not more. So what should we be advocating for, from the point of detection to the point of treatment to the point of radiotherapy? What should we all be advocating for? Media? Okay, I think we've lost Doc. Doc, are you there? Can you hear me, please?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. From the point of media to, those in the civil society, those in the public, and others, what should we be advocating for? And whose responsibility is it to make sure these issues are fixed? Doc?
So, of what we should be advocating for, early detection.
Okay.
Early detection is at least it portends towards better outcomes. It also means it's also cheaper, really, to catch it earlier. So I think what the media can really do is to constantly talk about being aware. The awareness about cancer, the common signs and symptoms of cancer, is very poor. Cancer is still heavily stigmatized in our country. So again, people that find something are not comfortable with speaking up or coming out because they because of the issue of stigma. And another thing that the media should really help with is some of these preventive methods like vaccination. I know that with the rollout of the HPV last year, there was a lot of anti-vax campaign trying to discourage people from accessing it, when we know that this has been scientifically proven to be effective. We know cervical cancer is one of the cancers that we know that there is a causative agent, there's a strong link, and there's a vaccine against it. So it just makes common sense, not just outcomes, but economic sense, to vaccinate the girls at that age. So the media could help to ramp up campaign. There's another rollout scheduled for later on, I think quarter two, May. So media should now be, out there encouraging people to go and get their girls screened, be vaccinated, the young girls vaccinated. Then there's the early detection now we're talking about. Go and get screened. Or people who do not qualify for the vaccine, there's the pap smear. There's also the HPV DNA testing, which is a bit expensive, but for those that can afford it, while we still think about how we can get it into the scheme so that more people can access it. But before then, we have the pap smear. So constant information going out from the media, being aware, prioritizing self-care, prioritizing healthy lifestyle behaviors, are some of the things that would help in early detection as well. As to whose job is it? It's everybody's job. While the policymakers are at the helm of affairs to try to ensure that every Nigerian has access to treatments, and trying to also bring out the appropriate funds to ensure that these equipments are available, the workforce is properly skilled, capacity building should continuously be ongoing, while the policymakers have a role. but everybody also has a role. We should not encourage stigmatization because it makes people not to go and seek treatment early. And then we should just generally continually promote healthy lifestyle behaviors, less of all the canned food, the junk food that is out there. You know, there's another culture of shisha smoking, which is very unhealthy and, you know, could definitely lead to increase one's risk of cancer. There are many cancers that have been linked with smoking, tobacco exposure. And unfortunately, this is now a growing trend in our environment. So again, the media should be able to portray this information so people All right. make informed choices.
Okay. Okay, interesting. So I want us to spend the next few minutes we have to talk about risk factors for the big five. Starting with breast cancer and then maybe go to prostate and cervical and so on and so forth. So what risk factors do we need to be aware of?
If you have, for breast cancer, somebody has a relative, first degree relative, by that I mean mother, sister, aunt with a history of breast cancer, that has automatically increased the person's risk of getting breast cancer. And so the person should subject herself to annual breast self-exams, clinical breast exams, which is done every 3 years. And more importantly, sonomammogram, mammo, depending on the age. We don't have breast MRI readily available, but the person needs to know that their risk is heightened and take the necessary precautions as well. Then in terms of for breast cancer, anybody who has had a previous lump in the breast, whether it is said not to be cancerous, is also at a heightened risk. Women that have other risk factors that we know include women who do not have children by 30, people that also have, we call it a wide estrogen window, where they start their menstruation early and the menopause late. Obesity, lifestyle things are also some of the risk factors. For breast cancer, we just have bits and pockets of information on things that can increase a woman's risk, as opposed to cervical cancer, where we know for sure what's causing it. At least in 98% of the cases, we know that it's usually implicated with the HPV virus, human papilloma virus. Then any woman that comes down with or notices post-coital bleeding, that's bleeding after sex, should not sit on it, should go to the hospital. Watery, foul-smelling vaginal discharge, intermenstrual bleeding, that